This is the Senate Special Committee on Economic and Job Stimulus. It's Tuesday, December 11th, 2001, Hearing Room B, 9 o'clock a.m. Co-chairs Jason Atkinson, Rick Metzger, Administrator Jim Stenbridge.
I call to order the Senate Special Committee on Economic and Job Stimulus. We have a very busy schedule today. We will have some opening remarks, and then we'll adopt committee rules before we begin. But before we get to all that, driving up this morning at 3:30, I heard the national news playing of our National Day of Remembrance. And as I drove at 6 and 7 this morning, all of the ceremonies began on the East Coast. So I thought we would begin our day today by taking a few moments of silence to honor the President's request for a day of remembrance. Let's begin by having some opening remarks by committee members. Go ahead and start with Senator George.
Well, as we have all seen by unemployment numbers and other indicators that have been sent out to us, that we have a budget that is in trouble, and we have a state economy that's even bigger trouble, and that is, of course, reflected by the downturn in revenue of the state. I found it interesting, and I hope that we look at this kind of issue, that we had folks in Portland at a news conference talking about the small kicker return that went out would generate about $1 billion worth of benefit to the economy of the state. So hopefully we'll be looking at things that will, in fact, stimulate this economy and give a chance for our economy to rebound and then again allow that goose to lay the golden eggs that supplies the money into the building. Thank you.
Senator Gordon.
Thank you, co-chairs Atkinson and Metzger. It's a privilege to be a part of this committee. If one of our goals is to increase the productivity of our state, to get our economy back on track, and we really want to accomplish that worthy goal, I know of big sources of production that are being neglected. And these sources of production are our people, the citizens of the state of Oregon. We have people who are anxious to go to work, who want to work, who want to be productive, but they are unemployed, underemployed, or so discouraged that they are not presently active in seeking work. And they are not just minority populations, although unemployment rates and training needs are often highest among our minorities. And they are not just women, although women continue to be underpaid and thus undervalued in our society. And they are not just displaced workers put out of work by shifts in international trade or exhausted resources. And they are not just the people of Northeast Portland or of Grant County or Douglas County or Coos County, although the high unemployment rates in those areas persist even in times of plenty. They are all these people and more, and we need to find better ways to help these people, all of our people in Oregon, become more productive. We need to find better ways to help people qualify for and find and keep better jobs. We need to find better ways to help people create successful businesses. If we are successful helping all Oregonians find productive, rewarding, empowering work, the economy will take care of itself. And I believe we can do this.
Thank you. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have about one comment. It's about time we streamline some rules and allow people to have some desire to come to Oregon and do a job and start a business. There's so many hassles between getting a business started and the time that it takes, wetland issues or those kind of things that come into play when we're sitting there with a situation whereby somebody has to make all the wetland improvements and mitigations and everything before they can even start construction, it's crazy. They ought to be able to come in. If there's mitigation there, they ought to be able to decide whether they can do it or not. And if they can, they ought to be able to start construction immediately and do their mitigation on the site while they're doing it, things like that. We better pursue rather than trying to think of raising taxes and pumping a whole bunch of money into the economy. We better make it appealing for people to create jobs, and I think that's going to be a big task here. My one comment to Senator Driffler when he appointed me here was that we need to get rid of about 15,000 rules that the state has and allow people to use their creativity and get something done.
Senator Decker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there's a lot of truth in all three comments that we just heard. It is a real privilege to be on this committee and to take up the work of stimulating Oregon's economy, especially in a time when it needs to be stimulated. I think I'm, I guess, most reminded of a quote by Gordon Moore, the founder of Intel, talking about when it's the tough times in their large company, you invest in your core. And I think that's a very telling comment that they're making in investing in Oregon right now at a probably the highest rate of any organization, and certainly in terms of their worldwide scope, more here in Oregon than anywhere else. And I think it's instructive for us because we face a time when we have the question before us, do we invest in our core, our people, and their potential, or do we make another decision that I feel that will be the acid test of where we are 4 to 8 years from now, is did we make the right decisions, whether it's higher education or just our people's capacity. So I'm going to remember that quote as we go forward. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I too appreciate being appointed to this committee because I think this is an area that I've been especially focused on since I've been a legislator, but I believe that we should be looking at the unnecessary burdens, the ineffective and unnecessary regulations that I think we have placed on ourselves over the last few years. I do not support reducing the standards of regulations, but rather taking a hard look at the process. And is there a better way, a more effective way to apply these standards without overly burdening our businesses? I believe that to conserve resources and to assure the wise use of resources is a duty and something I think Oregon is very, very proud of. But we, over the years, have promulgated rules and regulations, most of which have been very difficult for business to do and very expensive for business to deal with. Some of the rules and regulations faced by business are very important. To quote, assure the health and welfare of this and future generations of Oregonians, end quote. But some of the regulations are burdensome and not effective and create an uncertainty for business and investors in our state. And I think this is something that I hope that we can look very closely at. I hope that those testifying before this committee in the next few days can identify for us specifically those rules and regulations which are impacting their businesses and suggest to us how we might correct the situation. So I'm looking forward to this opportunity.
Senator Courtney.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is interesting. I'm not used to making opening statements as a member of the committee, but it's clear to me that some have not only used to it, they have already prepared opening statements. So I'll simply say that I said a few weeks ago when I was part of putting together a structure of committees that are now meeting, but very possibly this will be the most important committee, and is the most important committee that is meeting at this time as we work our way through this budget crisis as well as special session. And if we can, in some maybe small way, make an adjustment to the economy and the stimulus, we will have done, we will become the unsung committee, and we will have done more to not only resolve where we're at, but to avoid a second special session. So I look forward to the individuals who will testify, not only today, but throughout the days ahead of us. I'm aware some of the ideas are going to be proposed, and I actually am positive and optimistic that together, we can come up with some recommendations that will help Oregon's economy at this time in a way that will bring and get some faith from the people back into the economy, as well as get some of the creativity and other things, words that have been used here today. So I thank you, Mr. Chair and for allowing me an opening statement, and with that, I'll defer to the witnesses that are about to speak to us.
As you will notice, one of the things that is historic about this particular committee is our membership is even, and we are sharing co-chairs in an effort to really look at this in a completely bipartisan manner. And in such, my Democratic colleague, Senator Metzger, is the co-chair, and
good morning, Co-Chair Atkinson. Thank you, and thank all of you for coming today. I think the comments that have been made by the committee today are right on point, and I think you'll hear from Co-Chair Atkinson and myself throughout the day and throughout the series of these meetings that we're going to ask you to be on point as well. Tools for state government and stimulating the economy are far different than those tools available to the federal government. We establish programs to care for people, to make our communities safer, to make Oregon environment sustainable and the business climate sustainable as well. And with that, and with the fact that we are not allowed to go into debt, that we must spend wisely, we must invest wisely, we must lead wisely. I don't think there's any question, if you look at the economic picture, that this is a world recession, it's a national recession, and locally a state recession. And while we have limited tools in that environment, the ones that we do have at our disposal, we do have to invest in wisely. I think in the state, there's no question we've been in a profits recession for 6 months, manufacturing recession for at least 10 months. Ironically, the consumer, which normally leads a recession, has been strong, but that has kept us above water longer than perhaps we should have been in most economic cycles. But even if the consumer has confidence at a level that does not get CEOs to spend money, and IT spending has been considerably down. So as we look at that, I'm asking of you, and I know Co-Chair Atkinson will say over and over again as well, is that we want specific action steps. And if you can't provide specific action steps, we're not going to get to where we need to go. And in your comments today, we want to know, A, what can we as a state legislature do? As Senator Mosley pointed out, what as state agencies can we do to get our economy rolling again, and those specific action steps? And look forward to these days, Co-Chair Atkinson, and coming up with some good ideas for our state. Thank you.
I'll begin just by saying very briefly, probably the briefest comments of the committee, since I don't want to repeat what everyone else has said. I've just returned from Taiwan, a place that is also in a recession, but in a place that specifically has invested entirely in its people. There are more master's degrees and PhDs running companies and growing companies in Taiwan than I believe anywhere else in the world. The emphasis they've put on higher education has been the one thing that they've internally looked at to stimulate the economy. Where I live in a place that has one of the highest unemployment rates in the state. You will notice we're going to meet today, tomorrow. It's our intention also to have a half-day meeting on Thursday where we perhaps are going to hear some responses from some of the agency heads of issues that come up over the course of the next 2 days. We'll probably also have some subcommittee meetings meet rural areas, just to give us another flavor. I apologize from the beginning. There's many people who want to testify. There's many places we want to hear from. I encourage members to continue to collect. This is a fact-finding only committee. We're here to accept and learn, take information. This is not a policy-setting committee. Rather, this is an effort for us to learn as state leaders as to how we can do this, how we can jumpstart the economy and get people back to work. So I encourage us to do that, whether it's formally or informally. If you'll notice under the rules that we are about to adopt, we have the ability to have subcommittee in the field hearings, but also we have the abilities for people to go and collect on their own, whether it be town halls, formal or informal. So I say all that to say that we have a real responsibility here today. I'm excited to be here. I'm also excited with the presentations that we have today. I would reiterate, as many of us, as somebody who this year has started a company or two and been involved with clients and getting clients going during a time of recession, my focus in the last 3 months has been very precise. And so I would hope in those who testify and those who are listening to us on television before they come down to testify, just like the rest of business is, be precise, be on point. I'm really, I can speak for myself, not interested in commercials. I want to hear specifics of what the state government can do to get people either back to work, growing businesses. You know what our theme is today. So I really encourage those of you who are due to testify to be on point. With that, let's move on to the adoption of committee rules. Has everyone had a chance to review the rules?
Mr. Chair, I don't have rules in front of me. But go ahead. I'll read that.
The committee rules, Jim, would you like to?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, these are pretty ordinary rules. The committee does not take official action, however, and so those rules that you might see in other committee documents, not there. If you look at rule number 7, it says the special committee is only authorized to take public testimony, submit its findings, and report to the President of the Senate by December 31st, 2001. So that's what we will do, is collect the comments that are made here and put them into a report.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fisher.
We were talking this morning, and you were talking about possibly having a subcommittee meeting after the first of the year. That's almost overruled by this 7.
Yeah, let's. I would actually like to amend the December 31st to give us a little flexibility. I'd like to, if we have having a Southern Oregon subcommittee meeting would probably be after the first of the year, just given the fact that it's the holidays and it's, I don't know where it is the rest of Oregon, but I drove over 2 snowy passes that I probably wouldn't encourage all of you to do at 3:30 in the morning. So we should amend that to, let's say January 15th? January 15th.
I would move, so move that we amend.
Is there any discussion?
Measure of Rule 7, January 15, 2002.
Senator Fisher has moved that we amend Rule Number 7, changing December 31st to January 15th. Is there any discussion?
No.
Senator Courtney.
I think that this date's in here for a reason in terms of when the governor's going to come out with his proposal, et cetera, et cetera. And so I don't know whether you want to, I thought there was a 2 different type of hearing process going on here. One, just public hearings. The other is when we start to work on the budget. And as long as you've had those discussions with the President of the Senate and the dovetails, I don't want to see this committee lose an opportunity of a window of input by modifying this date. That's all I'm going to say, because I'm working with the, I don't mean to be braggadocious, I am part of that group of 15, and I know they've developed 2 different hearing processes. One's in December and one's in January, and they're 2 distinct processes. And so I just want to make sure that, but I'm not trying to take issue with Senator Fisher, but in terms of how important I think the committee is and this report we're going to submit, that we don't submit it too late to be included, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all I'm going to say, and I'm not trying to upstage anyone with those remarks. I just should caution you that maybe that date's in there. It's a critical date, and they got to have, they want to know what we think by then, but I don't know what else to say. That's all I'm going to say.
That's good input. I think, though, that the subcommittee is, it's going to be an amendum to the report. I think it'll be done far in advance of the 15th, just realistically.
Okay. Mr. Chairman? My offer suggestion, and that would be on the first line, line 7, we're at the very end of, this, of that line where it says its findings. How about preliminary findings are reported by December 31st and its final report at least 15 days prior to a special session?
I think that's a good idea. I think perhaps we just do final report with the on January 15th. I think that would satisfy both.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's a good suggestion. Would you like to make that a motion, Senator George?
Yeah, I'm going to withdraw on that move.
Yes, would you?
Yeah, I'll do that. I just have one comment as I do that. By the time the governor gets around to giving his input, January 15th isn't going to be that far out of line.
So Senator Fisher's motion is removed. Recognize Senator George.
Okay, if everyone appears to be all right with this, then it would read, special committee is authorized to take public testimony and submit its preliminary findings in a report to Senate President by December 31st, 2001, and the final report at least 15 days prior to a special session. Or however we clean that wording up. Is that what you're...
I think by January 15th.
Oh, by January, okay. Okay, so we would maintain then that December the 31st is a preliminary report, final report by January 15th.
Yeah.
That's so moved.
Senator Leslie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm trying to figure out the logistics of this. If you are allowed to have subcommittees with a quorum of one present, when are we going to come back together to take those suggestions from the field trips, basically, and put them in and have... put them into a report, unless we're planning on having another formal meeting of the full committee sometime in January.
I don't believe that's been authorized. I think what will end up happening is after we have concluded this week, we've concluded a meeting in Wood River, most likely, and one in Southern Oregon, the results then, since we are informational fact-finding, will be distributed to the members. Prior to them being distributed to the President of the Senate.
So it will be no conclusions, just simply a report of the testimony we heard?
I believe, given what has been instructed by the President as far as our ability to meet, I believe that's how it will work.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? So moved. Do we have a motion on the... So moved to the amendment. Do we have...
Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the rules as amended.
Senator Metzger has moved that we adopt the rules as amended. Discussion? Objection? So moved. The rules have been adopted. They're official. We have opening comment. Now it's time to get to the point. Our first group that we will call forward is the New Economy Coalition. It gives me a great honor to call them forward. They did a lot of work last session, and when I was given this assignment, they were the first group that I thought of. So it's an honor to have you here today, and go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and proceed.
Mr. Co-Chairs, my name is Don Kramer. I'm an attorney at Black Elder Line, mayor of the New Economy Coalition, and along with Mr. Johnson, new co-chair of soon-to-be-named ballot measure campaign, Yes on SGR 17, which is the bill that you guys referred to allow public universities to hold equity.
And I am Jim Johnson, former Intel Oregon site manager and now a business investor.
My name is Skip Rung, a former R&D director at Hewlett-Packard, now a technology management consultant and also a technical advisor to the Oregon Resource and Technology Development Account.
Thank you. Mr. Kramer, I believe you have stimulated the economy already by providing us all a copy of today's Oregonian.
That's correct.
Correct, my old. Upon that, why don't we have those distributed?
Yeah, just some opening comments, and I'm going to let Jim lead this. We've got a little videotape that we want to show you. I think one of the foundations of our comments and what becomes is sort of basically the investment that you guys stood up and made last session. Tyee Productions basically got some people together, basically donated about $75,000 worth of service, and this videotape, I think, hopefully will set the stage. So, Jim, maybe you can go ahead and run that. Before we get started on that, I just want to mention the Oregonian piece. At the top of the page, there is this article on engineering. I would encourage you to read that, particularly if you read all the way through. John Castles, who many of you know is a trustee of Murdoch Trust, has been down here. Basically, does not like to sort of be quoted in the newspaper, but today he came out and basically made a fairly dramatic statement about potentially if he were governor for the day, what he would do with the state system of higher ed. So as we move through here, I would encourage you to read that article. But for the moment, let's go ahead and run the video, and then we can talk a little bit.
Courtney, put down the sports page.
I Lincoln, spelled Lincoln, 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 Nebraska. L-I-N-C-O-L-N. Wow.
It's Lincoln that we can bring all the time. He's transitioning Oregon from a primarily agricultural-based economy into a knowledge economy, meaning we have an intellectual property capital being generated in Oregon. Ideas. It's an economy based on creating people's ideas.
We wanted to give back.
I think it's
not just wanted to educate students, but we wanted to give back something in terms of knowledge and ideas back to the state.
There's a lot of research and development going on in the universities like right now. There are lots of graduate students, there are lots of professors who engage in research and development in a particular area that they have expertise in. A rising amount of research is intellectual property. Intellectual property is an asset.
If you look at places like Silicon Valley and Boston and Austin, Texas, they really relied on the intellectual ideas, the innovation, the climate of innovation that occurs around the university, a great university. We've had to really capitalize on our great universities here.
We need to get that excellence out of the university we're striving for, you know, becoming a top engineering school, and that will in turn drive innovation, which will in turn drive new ideas, and new ideas drive new companies. And it takes great ideas to create great companies.
We had not really linked the universities and colleges, both public and private colleges and universities, with the economic development activities of the state.
The fact that universities can't really take equity positions today in companies, even when we spin them up, is frankly a place for the disadvantage. The private venture capital sector was almost completely ignoring the universities as a source of ideas and as a source of commercialization opportunities.
We hear a lot about the digital divide in Oregon. The rural areas not being as connected to the high-tech economy.
You need bandwidth. You need it everywhere. And without bandwidth, I mean, it's a computer effort. You have all the smart people in the world, but if they can't get connected to the internet, then it isn't going to happen. The state made a phenomenal decision, I think, in this last legislative session. It really stepped up and said, yes, we want to go in this direction.
One of the legislative measures, one of the legislative statutes, was to increase funding to the Oregon University system so that we could start producing jobs that were more engineers of a caliber that the high-tech companies in Oregon can use.
Not only do we want to have an adequately funded university system, but we want a government of engineers, we want a top-tier school of engineering, we want a top school of bioscience, and we want to make that transfer happen effectively in the state. The fact that the legislature has said, we're going to change this issue of equity positions for universities. We'll put it on the ballot so that people understand what the issue is. We're going to make that change.
ORTA has recently been reauthorized by the legislature, refunded specifically to address commercializing inventions and discoveries coming out of the academic and the research sector.
When it comes to the high-tech area, money flows to where you find the highly educated people in the bandwidth. Oregon has just miles and miles and miles of fiber optic, huge fiber optic. Just as, you know, the roads and electrification has been in the past, I believe access to the internet is at that level. And I think it's critical that happen. And you're seeing those kinds of investments throughout the state. You know, the 2001 session for us will be sort of known as the ground zero session, where, you know, people started to have an understanding of the new economy, the impacts. Creating this ecosystem of innovation is very, very hard.
I mind it to the governor said the work starts now. And that is very true. We still need to get the constitutional amendment passed.
We need to make sure that we have some infrastructure and making the connections. Yes, we have to have, you know, the lawyers, the infrastructure here that understand new age economy companies and all of those structures.
Create a facility that we hope will attract businesses in the biosciences.
We also need to get more money for higher education to transfer.
How do you build all that together? And that's really what we have to decide to do.
My dream for all of this is that the sort of seamless system in Orient Care, everybody's working together for the goal, which is educated citizens and an economy that's healthy.
I'm beginning to see more guardians across this entire state being to say, yes, we want it, yes, we believe we can get it, and yes, we know this stuff. Yes.
We are changing the Oregon economy and the Oregon way of doing business. So